powerful words already this morning, and I want to add just a few to them, and I'm going to be brief this morning. We've got a real treat at the very end of our service that's going to be, perhaps, I'll be honest with you, one of the most stirring things I've ever seen before. And some of our church folks are going to share their testimony in a very unique way. Thank you, praise team and praise band. That was my fault. We cut a song out just so we could be conscious of our time. So that was my fault for a little bit of a change in what we did this morning. If you have your Bibles, you turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse number 1. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, we'll have it on the screens here in just a moment. But Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse number 1. We're ending a series. If you're our guest this morning, by the way, it is Friend Day, and we are delighted. We have lots of guests here this morning. We are super excited you are here. I know some of you might not have heard all the things that Andrea said on the video. It was a great video, and thank you, Andrea, for doing that. But on that yellow card, we're going to refer to it at the end of the service. So I hope you'll hang on that. We want every person to fill out that yellow card. The top and all the way through. If you're a member of our church, we want you to fill the yellow card out as well. So I'll give you permission to even do it while I'm talking this very beginning introduction, okay? No problem. But don't do the bottom part. We want to talk about the bottom part at the very end of our service. But it is important. We want a record of everybody's visit today because sometimes we need to update our records. We don't have emails or phone numbers or birthdays. You'd be surprised at stuff that we don't have that we would love to have. And so if you would help us doing that, but if you're a guest, especially a friend today that got brought today and invited, thank you for being here this morning. If you'll fill it out as well, we'd be incredibly grateful this morning. Over the last 7 weeks, for those of you who have been here, maybe in and out, and you're back this morning and been out a couple of weeks, or maybe you've been here all 7 weeks, we've talked about seven different areas of our lives. We've talked about the spiritual. We've talked about the physical, the emotional, the relational, the mental, the vocational, and the financial. In other words, we've covered every area of our lives and asked this question, are we being transformed in every area of our lives? Understanding this, that transformation is something that God does, not that we do, but that we open our lives up for God to do that in us and through us. And so we understand the very first week we talked about all the way back in September was the idea of spiritual transformation. That really spiritual transformation informs or helps all the others take place. Too often, if we're not careful, we love to compartmentalize our lives. We love to say, well, the spiritual part, that's God's, but the rest of it, well, I'll let God be involved in that as it seems right or as it seems fitting or it seems easy or as it seems like I want it to be. Instead of understanding this word transformed we've talked about over the last 7 weeks, and quite frankly, I'm going to share with you in a moment what our vision team really has been looking at and talking about over this last year. We've really come to this conclusion that really the scorecard we've been keeping to measure whether or not we're being the church God wants us to be perhaps has been a little bit wrong, or perhaps is incomplete, maybe a better word. You see, what we need to understand is the spiritual transformation that takes place then transforms every area of our lives. And we don't just say, well, I'm transformed at church, but how I spend my money or how what kind of relationships I have or who I marry or how I do my job or what kind of job I even have or how I deal with my friends or how I deal with my physical body, that really that doesn't really matter to God. When in reality, we understand that every area of our lives is important to God and He wants to transform everything about us. Now, when we use the word transform, sometimes if we're not careful, we think to ourselves, well, we're talking about an extreme makeover. Right? Don't you love those shows? Back a few years ago, we had the Extreme Makeover. They would take people's physically. They would change their teeth and their hair. And they would help them lose weight. And they would reveal them, right? And it was like, wow, this is amazing. We're not talking about that kind of extreme makeover. We're not talking about even like a home makeover. My wife helps me. We get to watch these shows sometimes. I really love these shows about how they tear these houses up, you know, and find these old houses. And they kind of transform, make them look like something. We're not talking about that either. Because what that does is that's cosmetic. That's on the outside. What really God is talking about in the word transformation is that which is on the inside. You see, the Bible says, talking about David, that man looks on the outside, but God looks on the heart. And it's what you can't see this morning about somebody else. We can only see the outside, but you see, God sees the heart. And the idea of transformation is something that is radical, that is something that changes us from the inside out, not just about changing our behaviors, but about changing who we are from the inside that then changes every area of our lives. Listen to what Romans 12, verse 1 says. I urge you therefore, brethren, moms and dads, boys and girls, students, by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. As a living and holy sacrifice, it says, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Let me ask you a question before I read verse 2. Does that describe your life? Does that describe mine? Does my life be describe my worship? Is that, do I give my body, not my physical body, my emotions, my relationships, my finances, my job, do I give those to the Lord in a living, holy sacrifice? You see, too often, I'm afraid we don't really describe Christianity more as a sacrifice, but that's what it's called. It's called, when we say deny yourselves daily, take up your cross and follow Jesus, that's called a sacrifice. It's putting our bodies on an altar and saying, Lord, here it is. It's a living sacrifice. The problem is, you've heard it said already if you've been here, and that is this, that the problem with our sacrifice, it's living, and too often it loves to crawl off the altar, doesn't it? We do. And so he says in verse number 2, what does he say? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. I want to say clearly, see, as a church family this morning, about this scorecard. Really, we use these four words, and after that, there's nothing else on the screen this morning. I just want to talk to you, and there's some outline things you can look at later. But this scorecard we talked about in our vision team was this. There are four things we measure, whether we look at and say, wow, we're a great church. And these aren't bad things because they're important things, but they're not the most important thing. We measure our growth by our buildings, right? Are we building a better building to have more people? We look at bodies, how many bodies are in the building. We look at our budget, how big is our budget? And then we talk about baptisms, how many baptisms are we having? We look at those four B's, which are all important things at the end of the day. We want to have more baptisms. We want to have more bodies in the building. We trust me, this is great. The last 3 weeks, there was not quite this many people in here, so we love to have more bodies in the building. Trust me when I say that. We want to have more of a budget. Why? So we can have more money? No. So we can do more with what God has given us. There's nothing wrong with those things. But what we came to determine as we studied, we prayed, and we looked at, especially one book in particular, this book called Transformational Church, the real scorecard was this, and they asked this very difficult question. And by the way, really would just plead with you to take this church assessment. The information's in your bulletin. You've got newsletters, articles on it. If you would please take time to fill this out, because we really want to know, are we really seeing transformation happening? Yes, we've seen more bodies in the building. I mean, we've doubled in the last 2 years. It's been phenomenal what God has done. But what we really want to know more than anything else is, are we seeing lives transformed, radically changed so much so that it changes, like what Chris talked about, that it's changed every area of his life. I've seen it happen in Chris. And what Chris is saying to you this morning is not, hey, you better do this. He's seeing it happen in his own life. And it's transformed him, it's changed him, hasn't it, Chris? The conversations that we've had over the last several months have been challenging, convicting to me. It's transformation. Are we being transformed? That our every ever life is so deeply impacted, radically so, that we are a sold-out disciple, one that has been completely transformed. I want us to ask three important questions this morning quickly. To help us think about this idea of transformation as we kind of wrap up this series. And I want you to know, though, as we wrap up this series, sometimes if we're not careful, we take it and we take this book that we read this last several weeks together, and we go, that transformed thing, man, that was really cool. That was really great. And man, that's good. So that was good, and let's move on to the next thing. And we forget it. I want you to know that I have made a commitment to the Lord in my own life personally, that for the rest of my days, I want to live a transformed life. I want a life that is sold out, one that is radical to the Lord. But more than that, as a shepherd, I want to be a part of a church that is seeing lives transformed and that will not be satisfied with anything less. That will not be satisfied with just showing up and doing church, but seeing what we're going to talk about in just a moment, lives like Chris and some of the testimonies you'll see in just a moment, of seeing lives radically transformed for the gospel's sake. That's what our world needs. Our world doesn't need, really, at the end of the day, that we need more churches. We don't need any more extra churches just doing the religious thing. We need more churches doing the Jesus thing. The sold-out thing, the radical thing, the transformed thing. That's what our community needs more than anything else. Three questions we want to ask. Before I get to these three questions, let me think about just for a moment about a guy that's transformed. When I was thinking about somebody that was transformed, I thought about this guy who was top of the class. I mean, this guy was head and shoulders above everybody else, super religious, super nice guy. I mean, this guy was like passionate. He was serious about being religious. I mean, that was his whole goal. He had been trained that way. He had gone to school and learned from the very best of the very best. I mean, he was so excited about what he was doing that he got so excited, he decided we need to be on mission to put in jail those who are opposed to what I believe. Then he got even further. We're going to start killing them. There was a guy by the name of Saul in Acts chapter 7 who, if you would have ever looked him up and put him in a lineup, people would have said, oh, Saul, that's the guy. I mean, he is the man. And yet we read in Acts chapter 8 where there's this guy that is stoned to death named Stephen that radically changes Saul's heart. And he's on the way to the road to Damascus. You know the story perhaps. And he's on the way to kill more Christians in Damascus to put in prison more. And there he meets Jesus Christ. And on that road to Damascus where he meets Jesus, it's a radical transformation. He's blinded. And Jesus, and they have this conversation, and we don't see all the details of what they talk about there, but we know that Paul has a radical transformation. I want you to know that when Paul found Christ as Savior and Lord and acknowledged Him as Savior and Lord, he didn't go back to living the way he was living before. It was radical. It was incredibly different. Now, it doesn't mean that Paul all of a sudden was a really, really loud guy, and all of a sudden he turned into a really soft-spoken guy. It didn't change his personality. It just changed who he was from the inside out. So much so that he came from the people laying the cloaks on his right into his arms as they stoned Stephen to being the very one who went out the very next week in the town of Damascus and is sharing the gospel with those who he had brought with him to kill those same Christians. Folks, that is transformation. That is transformation. When you notice one of the things about transformation, I think I missed it before, but I got it this time. In verse number 16 of chapter 7 of Acts, where Paul is being told, in Acts chapter 9, verse 16, he speaks to a guy that's going to go and talk to Paul. Now that's another story for another day, but listen to what he says to him to tell to Paul. He says, verse 15, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. Check this out. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, there's a lot in this preacher. And I love to talk about the love of God and the mercy of God. And we've talked about that. We've sung about that this morning. We're going to sing about it even more. And there's a lot of me that loves to say to you a lot of really feel-good things. There's a temptation to do that. Because we don't want to make anybody bad and anybody offended, anybody be upset. We want everybody to be happy when they walk out the door. Nobody be happy so they'll put something in the offering plate. We want everybody to be happy, 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 happy. Right? But you know, sometimes if we're not careful, we leave out part of the gospel. And that is this, that there is a call for all of us to suffer. And that suffering takes all kinds of forms in our lives. Circumstances, situation. Health, life situations, even how we live and flesh out the gospel. This guy was going to tell Paul, hey, Paul, great news. This Jesus who you've met is going to change your life forever. And the joy you just think you've been living life, oh, just wait to the joy you're going to have in Jesus. But Paul, by the way, be reminded in this joy, there is also a call to suffer. There is a call to sacrifice. There is a call to serve. So I'm going to tell you clearly this morning, too often, my life included, I don't know about you, but I don't like to suffer. I like things just like I like them, how I like them, when I like them, and where I like them. Are you that way perhaps sometimes? Yeah, we are, aren't we? I mean, we have all the comforts of the world. We don't want anything to get, and when something messes up our day, oh man, we are just done for. Yet that's not what God called us to be. I want to encourage you this morning to echo what Chris said. How can we transform? Just very quickly. Number one, notice this. It is on your outline. It won't be on the screens. But notice on your outline is we need to understand about the cross. Most of you in this room know about the cross. You know about Jesus Christ. But just in case you don't, there was a Jesus came and lived a perfect life. Never sinned one time. And yet he came to die a sinner's death for you and for me to take our place. And he died on a cruel, rugged cross almost 2,000 years ago. He shed his own precious blood, suffered in ways we can't even fathom for you and for me. And the call this morning is that we believe the cross. And not just believe it with our head and say, yep, I've heard that story, know that story, got that story. But that belief comes from our head to our heart and it changes us. We believe it so much so that we believe that it changes us. You see, I can say I believe in something, but if it doesn't change me, I really don't believe in it. Right? If I were to just come right here and say, somebody close to the front row, I don't know. Ben, I'm going to run and I'm going to jump and Ben, you catch me. right? Now, Benjamin's in the fourth grade, all right? And Ben says, trust me, preacher, I'll catch you. Ben, you want to try that? No, do you? No, probably not. He says, but trust me, catch you. And I go, I believe you'll catch me, Ben, but I'm going to stand right here. Do I believe it? No, I don't believe it. Because you see, belief is something I act on. It's something that changes me. So I got to know about the cross. Secondly, I have to know this. I have to be convicted over my sin. I have to realize that I am separated from Jesus by my sin, by my choices, by my sinful nature that I was born with. I have to realize that I'm lacking something. The Holy Spirit has to convict me of my need of Jesus and over my sin. Thirdly, I have to make a confession of Christ as Savior and repent of all those sins. In other words, I have to say, Lord, I cannot save myself. Jesus didn't come as a politician. He came as a Savior because that's what I needed. I didn't need to be him to be some kind of an earthly king. I needed him to save me. The fourth thing, I have to choose Christ. There's a part we have to play. It's the word we call conversion. It's the word you hear born again, the word transform. What does it mean? It means that I choose to turn my life over to Jesus, turn my back on my old ways of living, and say, Christ, I want to follow you for the rest of my days. And notice the last one, change must follow this conversion. The Bible says, whatever Christ, the old way of me has passed away, all things become new, 2 Corinthians tells us. So in other words, I become a new creation in Christ. My desires change. Now, sometimes people will say, well, Brad, I'll make that choice and I'll see that happen, but I got to get all this stuff in my life fixed first. And then I'll see how that happens. See, what I tell them is, no, that's never the way God intended. God says, I'll change you, and then I'll begin to change your desires. So sometimes it's almost so Christ, and we came to Christ as an adult in particular, maybe as a student, we have to allow God to rid ourselves of old habits. Now, sometimes it's pretty radical. I've met people that were, you know, they were doing drugs, they were having this relationship, and I mean, instantaneously stopped it, never went back to it again. But others had to work through that process. But it does mean there is change. Again, it's not about what you do. It's what Christ does in and through us. So I'm going to encourage you this morning. If you've never made that decision to be transformed, you can make that decision this morning. That's what this morning is all about. The second thing, for those of you who know Christ, how do you continue to be transformed? How do you just not put the book on the shelf and say, well, that was a really cool word. This is going to be a word we're going to talk about forever. How can I be transformed? Two negative things. Number one, I must not be conformed. Was sitting in a pregnancy choices banquet this last Thursday night, and the speaker, Candy Gibbs, was sharing some things, and there were some powerful things that she gave. Challenging things that really encouraged and challenged me and convicted me to think about this. Does my life and the way I raise my children and how I am training them, does it look different than the ways of the world? I should be training my children to understand if they're going to really follow Christ, you know what? There's going to be times they're going to be rejected and made fun of. There are going to be times they're not going to be popular. There are going to be times that not everybody's going to like them. Instead of telling, well, just fit in. Don't make a stir. No. No, I need to teach them how to not conform to the ways of the world. But see, we get so conformed. We do. We do the same things a lost world does. We go to the same movies. We allow the same things into our home that a lost person does. And the question is, are we allowing the world to squeeze us into its mold, which is what the word conformed means? Or are we allowing it to be transformed? Secondly, I must not become complacent. Boy, it's life. It happens to us, especially when we get into school and this time of October. And I'm just going to be honest with you. Boy, our attendance in October, the first three Sundays were just terrible. I mean, with September and August, man, we blew it out of the water. It was incredible. We were preparing for all kind of growth, and then October came, and like the cliff fell off. You know, that sometimes happens to us. Now, there's all kinds of things that happen. You know, if we're not careful, we get real happy with where we are and we get complacent, right? We don't get the edge. So yesterday, Mississippi State was not complacent. Ole Miss was. And they paid a price, sadly. No, don't clap. That will not make me happy. I woke my children up yelling at the quarterback yesterday, last night at 10 o'clock at night. They got complacent. Let me ask you this question. How will you describe your Christian life? Are you complacent? Well, everything's good. It's fine. I'll fix that tomorrow. I'm not going to get that sold out. I got other things. I got to do these things with my kids and my family and this and that and the other. And we, are you really being transformed? Thirdly, it must be a daily choice. It's not something I decide to say and say, well, I'm good. I got to wake up tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, 6:30, 5:30 in my case, it's tomorrow morning, and say, you know what? Today's a choice. I must decide, will I surrender to the Lord or will I not? Will I be transformed today or will I not? Or is just my transformation something I think that just happens yesterday on Sundays, or maybe if I'm a really super good Christian on Wednesday nights too? See, the daily call is to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. This has to be daily choice. Notice this other C, I must be consumed by Christ. We get consumed by a lot of things, don't we? But Jesus called us to be consumed with Him. I must commune, another C, I must commune with Him daily and even throughout the day. You see, sometimes we're not careful. We come to church on Sunday, we pray, it's a great moment, and then we don't think about Jesus until way on down the line. It reminds me sometimes, and somebody sometimes sends a text message, and we get it, and it gets down the list, and we accidentally, we forget it. And somebody says, hey, did you get that text message? Oh, man, I meant to respond, but I was doing something, and then I forgot it. That's the way we treat Jesus sometimes. It's like a text message. We forgot. We don't mean to, but it's not intentional daily choice to commune with Him. I must be confessional. To stay close to Christ means I stay clean. I'm confessing my sin. I must make Christ the center. He is the number one priority. Now, I can say He's the number one priority, but here's the question. We got to look at our lives to really decide, is He number one? Is He the center of our lives, or is He kind of off to the left or to the right? Jesus says, I only have one place in your life, number one. And lastly, and this part's the hardest for me, it must be in control. And what I mean by that is this, is that I must give Christ the control of every area of my life, every area. And there's some areas for me that are easier than others. There's some that just come naturally. Me, I've been tithing as an example. I just think, looking over here, I've been tithing since I was 5 years old. I don't even think about it. It's not a problem for me, but I have other areas that I don't like to surrender to the Lord because I want to hold on to Him. Maybe you'll take time this week. You didn't do it during your series, the Transform series. If you got the book, page 222 and 223 give you a spiritual assessment. Look at where you really are. Take an evaluation and see where you are. The last part I'm not going to have time to get to, but I pray you'll have time to look at it maybe later this week. Talk about how does this look like in our church. Four words I will give you. You want to know what a picture looks like? Some of us don't know, how do I know if I'm being transformed? How do I really know? Well, we wanted to try as a vision team to give you this picture. We've not approved all these things. We think this is perhaps where we're going and where we hopefully will see that this is beautiful and a wonderful thing. But these four words, that I need to be connecting to Christ, to the church, and to a life group. I need to connect. The second word, I need to be growing. In my personal relationship with Christ, becoming a disciple, in my corporate worship with my church, in relationships with others inside the church and outside the church. Thirdly, I need to be committed. I need to be committed to discovering how I'm shaped to serving the Lord in a ministry inside my church, and to giving to the Lord through my church. Lastly, I need to be going, to share Christ with those in my circle of influence, to share and peddle, to share the love of Christ, and lastly, to a mission trip somewhere in Mississippi, North America, or even the ends of the earth. Connect, grow, commit, and go. I wonder where you are in that process. Maybe you might identify that this week and say, Lord, I need to move further down the list. And maybe you've gotten to the going part, but you haven't gotten to the sharing part. See, in this transformational survey, assessment we've done so far, I think 21 of you have actually filled it out. We need 100, so we got a long way to go. So we're going to keep talking about this until we get to 100, so it will help you and me if you'll go ahead and do that today, all right? I don't know what the overall percentage, but way more than 30%, and I probably think it's 50 or 60% of those who filled out the survey so far, said this, and they were honest, and thank you for doing it. And I don't know who you are, but you filled it out, and he said this. I've not shared the gospel in the last 6 months with one person. See, for many of us, that's the next step, is to be sharing the love of Christ and taking that person and helping them connect and grow and commit and go. And then you and that person go grab somebody else. And then there's four of you, and the four of you help somebody else. You share the gospel, and they connect, grow, commit, and go. And then you come back and watch this. Then there's eight people, and the eight people help grow, connect. And then there's 16, and then there's 32, and then it goes beyond that point. Lives being transformed. Can I just ask you a question? Is your life being transformed by the gospel? If you have time this week, go read Acts chapter 26. Paul gives his testimony. What Chris did this morning, and it is phenomenal to read it. It's powerful. Jesus had so radically changed his life. Paul was so in love with Jesus that he stood before this ruler and said, listen, it doesn't matter what happens to me. I just need you to know who Jesus is and how he radically changed my life. Would you pray with me this morning? As we're praying, our choir and our praise team and folks, you're going to come to place for a really powerful part of our service. Lord God, I thank you this morning for the incredible words that you have challenged us with this morning. Brief words, but Lord, very powerful, challenging, convicting, and I pray, life-changing words. Lord, that you would do a work in us right now. Well, in just a moment, you're going to have the opportunity to sing to you again. And it's not our time of invitation yet. Lord, there's more that we still want to see you do in our lives before we get to that point to respond publicly. But Lord, just a chance to worship you. So Lord, as we will declare this to you in just a moment, our God, and then move into a special time of testimonies, that you would move in a powerful way. Lord, these words we've already heard, and Lord, there is a holy hush over this building. I can sense it. And that's what we've been praying for today. And Satan, we just want to tell you, you have been so busy this morning and this week in the life of our church, and we just say thanks. Thanks for considering us worthy to even be bothered with Petal First Baptist, but we declare to you by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are not welcome in this building and to get out. Their lives are at stake this morning, and you know that, Lord, and so we want to declare this to you, that you are our God. You are awesome in power. You are our healer. We want to make this declaration to you this morning, Lord, that you would hear it from the cries of our heart. And Lord, that as we begin to move into a time of testimony, you would move in a powerful, in a real way. We're going to make this declaration to the Lord this morning, and it's going to let you stand or sit or kneel or whatever it is, raise your hands, whatever it is that God's going to call you to do. We're not going to give you instructions on what you're supposed to do in this part of the service, except we want to call you to worship with us, to sing. And how you choose to express that physically is up to you. Let's make this declaration to the Lord that he is our God, and we desire to be transformed by this amazing, awesome God. Let's sing it this morning.